This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Label Clothing Company. They have been a huge supporter of mine for many years now. And anytime you see me wearing a dress shirt or a suit, it is from them. Everything is custom made. And anyone who knows me knows I hate wearing suits and I hate wearing dress shirts. I not only look dapper, but the clothes feel great and wear really well. So anyone in the need of a custom suit, definitely hit them up. You can find them online at label.co. What is up, everybody? Anthony Vasquez here, joined by my boy, Marcus Reed from Hank Lane Orchestras. This guy is nothing less of amazing. His energy is through the roof. His passion is contagious. And it's an honor to call him a good friend. And I think just from the conversation we have, you'll see the kind of value and energy he brings to his work and the passion he shows. In a very short period of time, he's risen to the top of the wedding industry. And we're going to talk about that and how he's carried over his passion of music and delivers that non-action, packed, stop, crazy dancing to every single one of his events. So without further ado, I bring you my boy, Marcus Reed of Hank Lane Music. What is up, everybody? Today, I am joined by my boy, Marcus Reed. And I love this guy. He is by far one of the most energetic human beings the world has ever seen. He brings it in so many different ways to the weddings. And I'm excited to have him on and just talk to him because the thing I love about what you've done, Marcus, is your band. You know, I don't like to say something is an overnight sensation because I think that's actually complete bullshit. Your band did have like a meteoric rise, you know, but I don't think that's good luck. I actually think what it was incredible work ethic applied with talent behind it, which then brings you to all of a sudden you can cut through some of that, you know, mud to get to the top of and become one of the top bands in New York City. And I know you guys are one of the most sought after bands in New York City. So I'm excited to talk to you and just give everyone a little tidbit on who Marcus is.
Well, first off, thank you for the extremely kind words. Mr. AV himself, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, the ultimate performer. Always on.
So much fun, by the way, whenever I see you at any one of the weddings or any event.
Always.
So my name is Marcus Reed. I have the Marcus Reed Band. And yeah, I am just excited about my career. I'm excited about where it has taken off to.
For sure.
And really, it's music. I've been excited about music. If you want to dive back for the longest time now. So from doing clubs when I started, I was about 12 years old. I actually used to try to gather older kids to try to get into clubs to play that I couldn't get into. So the excitement for anything really around music, and it always gets me going, and really just seeing people, how much they love music in general. You need it for so many different things.
How did you get exposed to it to start off as a kid?
Okay. So, I think we all hear music, right? It's almost like an innate thing. It's like a language that just goes off when you're really young. I guess one of my earliest memories of music is being in the back of my mother's old station wagon and hearing Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. And I just remember I didn't know at the time that it was a synth riff, but just remember the feel of the voice of Annie Lennox. And I didn't know who it was, but just as a kid, like such a young kid, it resonated with me. And, you know, it eventually evolved further. My father was a huge influence on music to me because, my parents were divorced, and of course, it's going to lead, but from a young age, my father had to take care of me the most. And we take these road trips because they didn't live close to each other. And he would just play hours of music, and I would just sit back and listen. Even as a kid, we're talking maybe 7, 8 years old, maybe close my eyes and just listen. And my father would explain lyrics to me.
Was your dad a musician or no?
No.
Just into music?
No, yeah.
Like, loves music.
Totally into music. And my mother was a dancer. My mother, one of her accomplishments was is that she danced actually alongside at one point with Martha Graham and did Graham instruction, which is pretty crazy because I definitely didn't get any of those genes.
Crowd dive though.
I mean, I love stage dive, crowd dive, and I love when everybody else crowd dives too. There's always a lot. The more jumping, the better. Absolutely, absolutely.
And at what point, so I know, you know, we've known each other. It's probably, how long have you been with Hank Lane now? Six, 7 years?
Yeah.
Seven years, let's say.
I think, I would say, really six.
Call it six years.
Yeah,
so
going on
did
six,
you
yeah.
have a band going into them, or is this something that developed where they were like, hey, Marcus has some talent, he's going to be a band leader?
I had a band. Okay. Yeah, I used to tour, and I used to also
play. So not, just to be clear, a non-wedding band.
No. I mean, when you're growing up, you think of, you know, like I grew up with a lot of songwriting. Mm-hmm. I graduated the Conservatory of Music at Purchase College and actually went there for composition, music and composition. And that was my main focus. And so as much as I've always loved to perform, I've also loved the art of the craft of making music, which I think is huge, right? Because when you're performing a song, like for instance, in this field, like that pertains to a lot of different types of music, whether you're writing music for film, if you're performing it, let's say a bride and groom will say to you, hey, can you do a version of my first dance that would be a little bit more chill or laid back, right? Or can you rearrange it a certain way? Can you shorten it? So sometimes I'll actually take a song and I will rework it for the bride and groom and show them. So, I mean, that, it just, all of it, I'm going to tangent a lot about it because I just love all aspects of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope that helped answer a little bit.
So at what point, so obviously, you know, graduate from college, just give me a little bit on the lineage there. So graduate from college, form the Marcus Reed band, not doing weddings.
Right. Yeah. So that's right. Sorry, getting back to that. That's what happens when I tangent too much.
That's all good.
All right. So there was a period where I tore, and then there was a period where I had a very popular cover band. And I was doing the club circuit up and down the Northeast, mainly concentrated around here. And
which is a really tough way to make a living.
But it was fun.
Fun, but tough way
to
make a living.
Yeah. I mean, listen, in music, anytime you're in the entertainment field,
it's a tough
way to make a living. Sure. But what happened was that I really felt like there's a point where I started to go to some weddings and I could not understand why I was seeing, in my opinion, it's just an opinion, really watered down versions of decent bands that I thought like would be so much better for these people to have at their weddings, like friends of mine at the time, you know, and I couldn't understand that. So I started saying to myself, I can really do some damage in my own mind. It would be the same goal I'd have when not doing weddings is just make people take things to a higher level, you know? And I felt like, why does it have to be any different at a wedding? If my audience are the same ages that, or even a little before, right, at the time where people are getting married and they're loving this, why would they want something that's watered down at their wedding? You know, so I wound up having my band and I took my band into Hank Lane and they already knew about me. You know, I came in and I sang for them and I told them I had a band and they were excited and wanted to hear it. So I brought it in and they were ready right then and there. Like I felt really good there. I really felt like Hank Lane was an awesome home.
Yeah. I mean, you know, from being myself in the wedding industry for 23 years, they're definitely one of the benchmark companies.
Yeah.
You know, from a legacy standpoint, they've been around far longer than most people could probably even know who are in this business. They've been around longer than I've been alive and probably you as well because we're the same age. So,
Yeah. Absolutely.
But when you jumped in, I mean, so what I think is cool is, you know, there's so many bands I've known for so long, right? But yours was around for 6 years and now is one of the most sought after bands in, you know, probably the United States at this point. You know, it's not just New York because this is the biggest wedding market, but you know, there's a point where people are now booking their wedding based around the fact that you're available or not available. Or I'll have clients come in and say, hey, you know, we picked this date because Marcus was the was the band
that's available.
It was pretty wild.
It's wild.
And you guys were able to grow really fast in terms of the amount of weddings you were doing and then the scale of the weddings. And so what would you say, just from a strictly from a business standpoint, was the catalyst for that? I know you are great at marketing. You have a fucking ridiculous personality. You know, you are out there. You know, and out there in a good way. Like you bring energy, you know, and that's one thing when clients say when they come in to meet with me, they're like, oh, you're just marketing. I'm like, that guy is like the Energizer Bunny. It's like he took 50 Red Bulls, you know, so get ready to party the night of your wedding. You're not, or, you know, and then they'll ask me like silly questions sometimes. Can we do table picture? I'm like, it's impossible. Nobody sits. You know, like there's nobody sitting to take pictures.
I don't want to be sitting right now. Like, we need these mics on stands.
So let's do it, you know. What did you do when you, so obviously you got the opportunity with Hank Lane, and then I know you obviously personality wise just went all in.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'd like to say what you see is what you get, but I'm not singing, you know, and doing my thing right now. I think it's what I know how to do, right? Mm. So you know, you talk about marketing and, you know, great at marketing, but really what it is it's a lifetime of always being on stage. Like, yeah. I need the stage, right? And I love the level, and I wanted, anytime I'm on stage, I want the highest level. I want to be at the best venue, right? Before weddings, like, yeah. Wherever it was. So, I mean, in terms of what I did that would really catapult is I just did what I've always done, man. Mm. I give the most. I mean, the energy, I want people to feel, okay, so for instance, right, when I'm in a song and that song is building and I have the entire audience in front of me and they are just, they're dancing, they're watching and they're waiting for that beat to drop and then boom,
yeah,
right? And you feel it, your arms are up and everybody's just, you're together. You're not even on earth anymore.
Sure.
You're someplace else and everybody is there. And that is just, it's what I love to feel. It's what I want people around me to feel. And I wanted that when I went into weddings, right? I just want it. I like to use the word epic. And I also like to say that another thing too is whenever I go to any time that I'm performing, no matter where, it could be me and a guitar, like I want it to be like the last concert at Madison Square Garden. That's what I want it to be like. For that person, for the bride and groom, for myself even, right? Even if it was just, let's say, for example, besides my band, right? If I was just playing guitar, if I'm doing somebody's cocktail hour, or even when I was younger, when I was doing even a coffee house, I want it to be MTV Unplugged, the best performance ever, right? But I want to really feel it. I want people to know. Another thing too, when I perform, is that I really do feel it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's real. And you can't fake it in front of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there has to be, you know, there's an authenticity to performance and there's an authenticity to any job that we do.
Yeah.
And if you do fake it or you're not there or you're not present in that moment, it comes through in the quality of the work, your attitude towards, there's no way to really get behind that. And the other thing I think people don't realize is, you know, you're only as good as the last job you did, you know, especially in today's day and age, because the last job you did could be, if you bomb, it's on social and it's all over. It's not like it was just limited to those 200 people that are there.
Right.
It's on everyone's Instagram and Facebook, and you know, people may say, I noticed his energy level was at like a 7, and my wedding he was at a 10, and you don't want that.
No.
And you know, so now it's even more important, I think, than ever before, is you have to show up and you have to be ready to deliver. And you know, people may say, you know, want to take a day off, and that's just not realistic in our business. I don't think that that's possible here.
There's no day. And you know, you want to know what the thing is though about, you say about taking a day off, I actually don't want to take a day off.
Yeah.
I mean, the business aspect is, of course, like if you take a day off, right, and somebody really wants you, they're going to have to go with somebody else.
Yes.
You know, and then you're actually probably going to see that person again. Like a lot of events that I do, there's a couple of couples already there.
Of course.
And there are couples in there that are booking you in the future.
Yes.
And they'll actually come up to you. Most of the time it's we're so disappointed. We couldn't get you. We went in to get you, but our friends got you.
Yes.
And I look at them and I wish I could, you know, put myself in two places at once. So if you take a day off, if you want to call it that, man, you're taking multiple days off.
Yes.
Because there's so much more. It's not just the business. It's your own like pride.
Yeah.
Like you want to play for so many different people. The more, the better. It's fun, but it's also, it's just a necessity of a performer to constantly be out there.
Yeah, and I agree. And I mean, I think too, you know, and like to reiterate what you just said is, you know, if you take that day off, there's those people who saw you and then those people aren't booking you. And that really, yeah, over the course of 5 years, if you mess up on one gig, it's five jobs that year, which then is 10 jobs the next year. Right. It could be 50, 60 potential jobs over the course of 5 years because it mushrooms out.
Right.
And ultimately, absolutely, you lose those and you never get them back. No one ever goes, oh, I saw him again and he was great that night. Then they go, oh, well, he's iffy. Or he's wishy-washy. Some days great, some days not great. There's no doing it over. There's no, you know, in other businesses, for example, you hire a contractor to put a kitchen in. They fuck up the kitchen. Next day you come in, kitchen's wrong. We can be fixed. You know, you may hate the contract, you may sue them, but there's reciprocity there. Whereas in our business, it's a one shot and done. There is never going to be another 4-hour party for that bride and groom for the day of their wedding the week after. There's no redos. It's a single, bring it, don't ever take a day off. And, you know, someone once said to me, you know, do you always put the same work ethic in? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I have, let's say I shoot 35, 40 events a year, 40 days a year that I'm present for 10 hours. Mm-hmm. It's really simple when you look at it that way. I don't ever bring less.
Right.
You get what you get from me, right? And I give 100% of what I can at that moment to those clients, whether I have work going on, I shut up, I mean, life issues going on. When I'm at that moment, when I'm shooting, I shut all that other shit off. Because if I don't, I can't give my clients what they're paying for. Now, is every client going to be happy? It would be foolish to think so. But I know at the end of the day, when I lay my head down on a pillow, that I've given everything I can to try to make that client happy.
Yeah, and that's the only way. That's the only way you can lay your head down on a pillow, is to know that. Otherwise, you will. I mean, I feel like, you know what? I feel you have to sell your oats way before you do this. Like, it's not just people recognize the authenticity of it, but if you'd been doing this for a long time, you got most of those things out way before you reach this level.
Yeah,
and that's the way it should be, because these people that are hiring you, when they're getting married, it's like you said, there's one chance, one chance to show them. And you want to give them to try to put, like, equate it something, the rarest diamond. You want to give them something so special. You have to know that you have something that nobody else has. Mm-hmm. And you got to bring it out and give it to them. And I think that's huge.
Yeah. And I think there's also the, you know, when I think of you and what you do, there's a level of authenticity that you are who you are. You know, you're not going to do something.
I don't know how to do anything else.
No, but that's the thing. Is like sometimes people try to be something they're not, or they try to amend themselves to the client.
Sure.
So, you know, a client comes in and goes, I don't want high energy. Don't hire Marcus.
Don't hire me. If you don't want high energy, do not hire me.
If you want to go to sleep at a wedding, don't hire Marcus.
Right. Like, exactly.
But you have to be true to that, because it goes a step further, right? The day you decide not to be true to that concept and you try to be something else, everyone sees that. And then they walk away and go, hey, man, Marcus was great, but it wasn't what I saw. It wasn't what I wanted. There's a reason.
That would hurt so bad.
But that's the thing is, like, you know, you're
not going to let that happen.
No, and you have to be truly authentic to that. Yeah. And sometimes people come in here and they go, Anthony, I want you to do this. I'm like, that's not what I do. And they're like, but I know, but I want you to do that. I'm like, you're not following me. That's not what we do.
Right.
Not that it's bad. It's just not what we do here.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, that's what I want. I'm like, then I'm not the right photographer for you. You know, and ultimately, I'm not the right business for you to hire, because what you're looking for is not in line with the vision and the work that we do here. It's that simple. There's nothing wrong with what you want, just not what we do. And in order to best protect my business and what the work we do here and the business we've built, I have to be authentic to that business, to the core of that business and the core of what I do as an artist, as a business owner, all the above. And I can't deviate from that.
Well, that's actually your brand.
That's my brand.
Yeah, you'd be going against your brand. That doesn't make any sense.
You know, and sometimes, you know, it could be as simple as, you know, clients wanting a massive discount. Well, that's not on price point with my brand. Or it could be the style of something they're looking for. And I think all too often people in the business field, they try to meet all those needs, right? Someone wants something and they go for it. And ultimately, I've always said this, being everything to everyone leaves you being nothing to yourself. Right. And a really smart person told me that. And I was like, oh, it makes total sense. Because if you try to be everything to every one of those clients, you're not authentic to yourself. And
right.
If you're not authentic to yourself, you can't deliver what you need to the clients that really matter. And those are going to be your core business people. The other thing I fundamentally believe is it's 80-20, you know, that whole 80-20 rule, Pareto's principles, right? Not everyone's for you. You know, I only need 20% of the clients, right? And the other 80% are not going to be for
right.
me. And same for you. You know, I know that when somebody's hiring you, they want to fucking knock out party. And that's, I feel like a lot yeah. of the times I wind up on jobs with you because we have very similar clients. You know, they want high energy.
I should be on more jobs with you, right? We should be on every job together, man. Come on.
Package it in, man.
I believe that. You believe know, that'd be true.
100,000 for the two of us.
That's the truth. I'm okay with that.
No Friday discounts.
I heard we're going up in price though.
No Friday discounts.
Oh my goodness.
But you know, and from working with you enough times, you know, I think, you know, over the past, out of the Hank Lane bands, I work with you and Bobby the most, you know, so I get to see and absorb your content, the most. And the thing that I can appreciate the most is it's always on point. It's always the high level. It's always high energy. And that doesn't deviate. There's not a night where I'm like, oh, Marcus looks tired tonight. Maybe you were tired that day, but you weren't on stage.
Nobody's
the second that clicked on, you're like, boom, I'm on.
That's it. I mean, I could probably get an hour of sleep. And once I hit a stage, it's weird.
Yeah.
I've always been like that. I don't know what it is.
You know, it's funny. Like I wonder how some people, you know, I mean, I have the same thing. I think for me, it comes from my dad and the life lessons he taught me about, being a man, working hard. My dad never took days off. So, you know, I never had the reference point of growing up with a man in the household who, you know, was laying on the sofa. It just wasn't the case. My dad worked, you know, 6-7 days a week most of my childhood, came to 2 soccer games. And maybe as a kid, it was hard to understand. As a man, I have much more respect for that and the sacrifices he had to make
sure.
for us to be here. For me to be here speaking to you right now, because without his work, I'm not going to NYU. You know, like those things aren't happening. And I'm not sitting here today. But that being said, I find it amazing because it's the mindset that you have right now as you go into this that has built your band.
100%.
And that's it. Like the fact that you bring it.
Oh my goodness.
People don't get that. You know, they want to get to the top really fast. Yo, work your ass off.
Work your ass off.
And when you show up to work your ass off, show up.
Yeah.
Like don't just, like some people show up, but then they're there and I'm like, they're useless. Uh-huh. It's like dead wood. Like they're like, duh, no lights on. No. You can't just show up. You got to show up and work.
You got to show up and work. Your team, your team is a reflection of you.
And it's,
there's no room for that.
You know,
no room for that.
You're 100% right.
I'm so serious on that.
No, because seriously, like, you know, people don't realize, like, you're responsible for the 12 people who show up and perform at night. And no, it's not like one of them gets a night off. Bullshit. Bring that shit. You know, and it's like, they expect a certain level of service. Your whole staff is on, and for you, your whole staff is on stage. There's no hiding slacking off.
No, so good point about all that. I mean, I think, you know, getting back to your father really fast, your father was out 6-7 days a week.
For sure.
Right. But what that does is if you're very passionate, you need the passion, you need the talent, right? But when it comes to the ethic, when this is your business and it's, and then you multiply that by a million because it's your passion.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's more than 7 days a week in your mind. It never stops.
Correct.
It's in perpetuity. It's just you are always working. Even if you have a time where you have to go to a family gathering, it could be Thanksgiving, right, or whatever. I mean, you're gonna check your phone. Something's gonna happen because you're thinking about what's the next line in that song, or what is that special request that I really wanted to do for that person, right? Somehow something pops up, or if you have an idea for your team, it's always there. I mean, in my mind is running. There are times where I'm just up late at night because I have such a good idea,
yeah,
and I want to implement it so bad at that moment. It's just you're always going. You're always on top of your passion, and it's, I think, you know, people say you're lucky. And you realize it when you're working your passion. No matter how hard you're working that passion. There's nothing better because you're going to spend so much of your time in your life with that passion.
And that's when you use the word luck, you're lucky to be working your passion. That I agree with.
Yeah.
Luck though, like a lot of people say, oh, Marcus is so lucky.
No, that's man, bullshit. I work.
Hard work.
Hard work. Yeah.
Now, lucky comes when hard work and opportunity meet each other. There's a huge difference.
You got to be ready. And
you got to put in the work for the opportunity to present itself. You want to call that luck? Okay, great. I call that fate. Because it becomes, when you put yourself in a situation where your effort and the level of the work that you provide, it becomes undeniable. That's not luck. That's undeniability. So when you work your ass off and you're good, right? Now, there's people who should not be doing certain things in life. You know, for me, if I tried to become a band leader, it wouldn't go well. You know, and no matter how hard I worked at this point.
I'm not judging. Let's try that out. Let's try that right here, right on top of this table.
That will never happen. I'll tell you that right now. A, I can't dance. B, I can't sing. But I know that about myself. And I think people need to have a certain point of self-reflection where it's like, hey, maybe that's not the right line of work for me. No matter how hard I worked at it at this point in my life, people always want to talk about like talent is you're born with something. Also bullshit. Because it's talent is hard work. And then all of a sudden it looks like talent. It's not.
Yes.
You're not born learning how to perform on stage. You were exposed to it by your parents. It became a passion. You worked your ass off. And now 29 years later, it looks like talent.
Right.
That's not talent.
Right.
That's hard work.
Yeah.
You are talented, but that's not, you weren't born with this gift to perform.
So, right. Absolutely. So, I mean, I think a lot of people on this earth are extremely talented or have a gift, but the thing is, it's what you do with it.
Of course.
It's how you cultivate
it. How many people get drafted into pro sports that are freak athletes and never become anything?
Yeah.
They have all the talent in the world. Something's missing. They have the physical gifts. This isn't there though. They don't have the mental fortitude. Give me the guy who's mentally tough. That's willing to put the work in, beats talent every day.
At any time. And you, matter of fact, you can really get them to their potential too. I've done it.
I've done it.
So with people. So I understand. Absolutely. That's I think a huge quality. All you got to see is a little bit of that talent, but you see that want, that need to eat. You got to constantly be eating.
Yep. You got to stay hungry.
That's the hunger. You got to have the hunger for sure. Absolutely.
We digress down this road of work ethic, which is cool because you work your ass off, so it's all good. But when did you realize, okay, you know, you're doing the bar scene, cover band, shows, theaters, all that stuff, traveling, obviously being a family man now, a husband, probably harder to maintain that like kind of lifestyle as well. So being a wedding band, you know, out of New York City probably helps that a little bit as well.
Sure.
But at what point were you like, okay, not only do I have an opportunity with Hank Lane, but now I see that I have the opportunity that I'm going to go take, and I realize that I'm onto something here where it's not just, hey, we're going to be another wedding band. We're going to be the Marcus Reed band.
I went into it like that.
Yeah. I like that.
I mean, I think that's just, that's going to summarize anything I say after I make that statement is just going to lead right to that. I went into it as, I mean, I'm going to be the best. I mean, it's just like, it's what I felt, you know. Yeah. I never go into something without like just throwing myself out there. Like, I mean, it's like being on stage. I mean, you're a singer, you put yourself out, you're basically naked in front of people. There's nothing in front of you. And it's the same thing. Like if you're going to go for it, you go for it. I never thought in my mind that it wouldn't work. It's crazy because anytime I'm given, you know, a question like that, you know, I never thought it wouldn't work. I knew it was going to succeed. Mm. The question in my mind was how fast, because I knew that, I mean, I wanted to, but I also knew that I was going to give something what I thought was rare that people are going to want.
Yes.
You know, and they want it. When they want it, they want to touch it. They want to be with it.
Yep.
So I just kind of knew that, and
they want the experience.
They want that. Yeah. Really, I think that's, you know, sometimes I'm not the best with my verbiage, but that's huge.
You bring an experience.
It's an experience. Exactly.
100,000%.
And that
experience that you bring, no other human being on this planet, because there's only one of you, can bring to somebody's event.
Man.
That's the fact. That's a fact.
Thank you for saying that for me.
No, but
it's
the God's honest truth, because no one else can do what you do. There's other people. And I think people throw the word best around, right? There's the best. There's no the best. There's
no way.
The best for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone wants crazy high energy crowd surfing, I don't know that there's better than you for that specific, right? Like that's your thing. But there's maybe somebody, if they want all R&B or they want classic rock, I mean, maybe, but maybe there's a band that does that better and there's a better fit for them because that's what they do.
Yeah.
But people want to be like, oh, who's the best? No, who's the best for you is the question.
Right. Right.
You know, I look at on Instagram, there's a lot of talented photographers. I'm not the best, but I have a client that I'm the best for.
Right.
And I know when I meet that client that no other photographer in the world can service them and create the experience that I do for that client. But sometimes I meet with clients and I know that I can't provide them with the best experience because what they're looking for is so out of my purview. It's just not going to be realistic to accomplish that.
Sure. No, I
always say, like, the clients we say no to are as important as the ones we say yes to, if not more, because the wrong client tells 20 times more people how unhappy they were versus the client who's happy. This is statistically true, versus the client who's happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, imagine hiring your company and somebody comes in and goes, I want them to play the Macarena. Whoa.
So the one thing, knowing when you're going to go, you know, if you set your sights on Wedding Band, you think of Adam Sandler, you think of the Chicken Dance, you think of the Macarena. So in my mind, I said, doing this, I will never do that. You could pay me. I mean, if you want to pay me, you know, whatever, Mr. Wonderful is worth, you know, I mean, hey, I'll take that. But like, I remember one time I had somebody come up to me, a guest, and was like, man, you don't forget it. It's probably about 6 years ago. Says, can you guys do the Macarena? And I laughed and I was like, it wouldn't matter what checkbook you pull out right now. There's no way. And I said, by the way, did that request come from the bride and groom? And he says, no, well, I only take requests from the bride and groom. And by the way, they also said they don't want anything like that. So, yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, but either way, man, that's funny. You just mentioned that song. I mean, not doing that. And if anybody is doing that.
I heard at a wedding recently. That's
no.
Yeah.
No, they thought that would be a cool throwback, didn't they?
They did.
No.
It was bad.
No, you got to put your foot down.
It was bad.
You have to put your foot down.
It was bad. Yeah.
Brides and grooms, I do not do the Macarena. I do not do the Macarena. I would never do the Macarena ever.
So in terms of what you got going on now.
Yeah.
I always say that once you make it, it's harder to keep it. Easier when you have nothing. So when you're starting off, it's always easier. And I'll argue that to the death, because there's no expectation placed on you except the expectations you place on yourself. They're all internal.
Right.
The second you make it, now all the external pressure is there. You have a staff, a band to take care for, people who rely on you. Life changes once you've made it. So now that you have made it, what are the bigger hurdles or challenges you face day to day, whether it's managing the band, how do you level up once you've leveled up, which I think is always a big hurdle, right? Like, you know, really, like,
right.
What is next? You know, for us, like, I'm always thinking, like, how can we reinvent the wheel to a certain degree? Or how can we offer something that's different than what we were doing last year? How do I keep my clients' content engaged? How do I stay ahead of everybody else? You know, I'm constantly, my mind never shuts off. You know, it just keeps going. So for you, what does that look like?
Well, I mean, I think you look at just different, you're always a student for life, right?
For sure.
And I think you look at what you've done in the past, you look at what you're currently doing, and then what can you see in the future? So you learn. So how do you learn? Well, go watch concerts, right? Go look at your idols. What are they doing? You know, it's funny because I don't really watch, I guess, bands in my industry that much. You know,
it's almost impossible for you to. Anyway,
it's hard to do, right? It's hard to do. That's another thing too. It's hard to do. But you really, I mean, if you want to add lights to your show, if you want to add lasers on people, if you want to, there's so many things you could do as a performer that it's ongoing. Mm. You know, is there something else that I personally haven't done on stage that I want to do? Maybe there's a type of genre I want to try to tackle that would surprise people. I mean, I think one of the cool things that I do to take things to a different level is if a bride and groom, like I was talking about before, I mean, if they have a certain, I think an aspect that is not touched upon a lot is, let's say, a really important part of a wedding is a formal dance, right? I mean, that's the time when your song, they're on a video, by the way, is going to be there. It's going to be you singing it, because their highlight film is going to go to that, right? So if a bride and groom say, I really like this song, sometimes I'll tell them, like I was stated before, I do a really great version of that song. Or I might say to them, hey, you know, I can do a really good version of that song. What do you think? You know, and I'll show it to them or I'll play it for them. And I think that adds something so different to their wedding that I don't feel a lot of people, maybe they can do. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it done or maybe done that well. Mm. And that's something besides the energy I'm giving. I don't know if there's even more than I can already do in terms of they'd have to literally shoot me out of a cannon, right? But which could be cool, actually. I kind of would go for that.
I've always wanted to see you zip line into a wedding.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a little crazy. A little zip lining wouldn't hurt, but you never know. I'm totally up for that, by the way. But I also think a very important aspect is really making the intimate parts really intimate, right? So the formal dance is how well can I maybe remake a song for a bride and groom or maybe do a different version? You know, it's just there's other intimate aspects. And then the other intimate aspect is when everybody's dancing and you have everybody with you at one time. But there's just more aspects to the show that you can always bring to a higher level. It's just, there's, I don't know, as a performer, just so much you can do.
So who do you look at right now where you say, you see someone like, you know, was it Post Malone? What performers right now do you look at and you say, you know, whether it's a Grammy performance or where you're like, okay, that person's really pushing the boundaries.
Well, what
Lady Gaga, like who's bringing it where you're like, okay, I
mean,
that's.
Well, she pushes the boundaries because she's multi-talented. She's between the acting. I mean, she did stuff she adds. I mean, if you ever listen to her, just Unplugged. Yeah. I think that's big too. If when you can listen to a musician really stripped,
that's not,
and they sound amazing. I mean,
that's not auto-tuned.
That's not auto-tune. That's right. That's not auto-tune. You can look at that. I mean, I still do actually. I have a friend that's writing a play based on my original music, and also somebody else that's in the wedding industry by the name of Jesse Wagner too. Like he's doing a play both on my original music and her music. He knows that I act. So it's going to be called The Accomplished Nothings, which is, I think, is a really cool title. And, I just feel like that, you see, you can bring that all to this game, right? So you look up to, when you look up to music, you also look up to acting. You can look up to art in general. In terms of musicians, I mean, I find out something new all the time. I mean, but if you really go back to ultimate performers, you can go back. If you watch, I'm going to say it's so funny, right? Beyonce, when she is, it's like people say it all the time, but as a performer, so sometimes
she's powerful.
Like if nobody's
home, there's a power there.
Nobody's home in my house. Like I'll sometimes actually just put that on because she's given what I would want to give. Right. Yeah. I saw Billy Joel the other day. I sat behind the stage, right? By the way, those incredible tickets. You could go see when he's at the Garden, sit right behind the stage, his piano turns around, but it's a totally different thing, right? It's his songs. It's his songs throughout decades that just resonate. He doesn't have to do what Beyonce does. It's a different type, but they're both the way when you could pull people in, you can't minuscule that. Like I can't explain it. When you find a great performer, like if you ever heard Janis Joplin sing Ball and Chain at 67, the Monterey Pop Festival, or you watch Hendrix during Woodstock, all the way up to if you go into the 80s and you know, you watch Michael Jackson dance, or you watch Prince do everything at once. I mean, I'm sure you hear this a lot from musicians. It's the same type of influences, but there's a reason why people go back to that, right? I put money down that Post Malone loves rock and roll, loves R&B, right? Loves EDM, and it all comes together in somebody who actually has an interesting voice. It's not just the fact that he puts autotune on his voice. It's not that. It's just that if you strip that down, this guy has an interesting voice. Like you can't take that away from somebody. So I'm always learning. I love it. Like when Lizzo first came out and she had her single Juice out, I'm like, what is this? I just started listening, right? And it's just like, you got to do it. There's something. Then she has Truth Hurts and it's like, of course, you can hear the talent. It's just, I don't know. I watch so many different things. I'm into so many artists and I'm always watching and always learning.
Yeah, for me, it was like watching Alicia Keys play two pianos.
I mean, that's awesome.
She leveled that up right there.
I know how to do that.
Ah.
Do you really? I play piano and guitar. Ah. You know that. No, but
I know you play, but at the same time. Two piano, same time.
I've done guitar and piano a little bit at the same time. No, normally I don't have two keyboards set up. If I get my crew to set it up for me, maybe, right? Special for AV.
Add that.
But no, listen, Alicia Keys is, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, when she came out with her first single back, I think it was like 2000, 2003. I mean, I'm like, this is the blues. This is pop blues. Like it was incredible to watch her.
She's a powerful voice too.
Powerful. Yeah. I love artists that you can feel either their joy or their pain. You could feel the, and you could even feel the mundane. Like you got to feel it. It's the same thing as being on stage. Yeah. You just, oh.
One hell of an answer, Marcus.
I'm loaded.
It makes sense though. You know, like I think in order to be at that level, you have to be as excited as you are about something. Otherwise, you know, you start looking at it and go, you give up your weekends, 52, well, let's say 50 weekends a
year. Don't
do it
anymore.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You just,
don't do it anymore. Yeah. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I really don't. If I ever became jaded at what I was doing, I would stop. Doesn't matter what position I'm in, because I want, I want my legacy to be what it has been, what it still is. I don't ever want it. Well, Marcus was great, at this point. Mm. And now it doesn't seem like he's there. Like, no, I'm done.
So at what point did you get that validation where you were like, okay, I knew I was onto something. But, you know, until you get that moment where there's like, for me, I had a moment in my career and I was like, oh shit, like I'm on, like I knew I was there, but then that validated it. And I remember it specifically and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Not that I needed it, but it was really like that moment, pivotal moment where I was like, okay, I've made it. I'm here. For you, where was that? Like you had the mindset, you went into it, you brought it. And now what was that aha moment where you're like, oh shit, okay. My idea was right. I knew there was a place for me in the market and I just proved there was a place.
Well, if we're going to go more recent, you know, I won't forget, actually from Hank Lane, which is my amazing agency, right? Harris told me you're the first person to play Cipriani.
Mm.
And it was one on 42nd Street, mm-hmm. This early in their career. And, you know, and I don't know if I really understood the depth of that because sure. To me, no matter where I am. I
mean, but for people in the event industry.
For people in the event
that,
industry,
or people
yeah.
who aren't in the event industry that wouldn't understand that, that's the equivalent of like playing the Garden.
Right.
You know, it's like that's the A plus. Like,
well,
there's so many great
venues. It feels like it. Actually, what's great is if you were a musician that used to tour around or play a club circuit before you did this, you played venues like that.
Yes.
I did that.
Yeah.
So, but it was also seeing it on video, mm. right? It was like, man, you know, all the work, all the hard effort you put into it, all of just wanting every single person, everybody, every guest, every staff member of the place to feel it,
mm-hmm.
right? When you actually can sit back and enjoy it for a second, because it's hard. You got to know it's hard to do because you're constantly in the mindset of, I'm going to be great. I want to be great, right? Yeah. But to actually take a step back, I think really that was like, all right, this is fantastic. It was just a goosebump feeling, mm. you know? Yeah, I mean, that would be the most recent in those terms, you know? I mean, when I was younger, it was probably the first time that I got into a club that I shouldn't have been in
yeah. And
played,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I won't forget that the owners of the club also would like these at the time, like these like you know, rocker guys, mm-hmm. you know, they came up and they were just like, they're like, wow, you need to continue what mm. you're doing. And I remember all my peers being there and I had that actually had that on video too, looking back at it at the time. But I mean, yeah, I think it was that one time on 42nd, Cipriani 42nd.
Nice.
I would say, Grand Central.
Yeah. No, I mean, for me, it was like, you know, in 07, I got a phone call from, a celebrity planner at the time and my good friend Mikey, and he was like, you know, hey, I have this huge client coming up, and he was like, I need you to sign a non-disclosure. It's, you know, an A++ celebrity. And at the time, the Jonas Brothers were fucking huge. You know, this was before the quietness. Now they're back on tour
sure.
again, but they took like a 5-year hiatus. And we got the Jonas Brothers.
You had an NDA that you had to sign?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh shit.
That's
like,
when you know you're good.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, now, absolutely.
And then we did Kevin Jonas's wedding. Which, you know, was on the cover of People. And at the time, People magazine, people still bought magazines 12 years ago, before Instagram.
I remember what magazines feel like.
You remember
saying,
yeah,
I remember,
yeah,
absolutely.
I love magazines. But for me at that moment, I was like, oh shit, okay. The past 7 years of being on my own in my business, this just kind of like justified all that.
Sure.
Ironic how the work didn't change, but people's perception of you changed. You know, like
isn't that something, right?
Like they're like, oh, he's really high end now, and I was like, yeah,
I'm the same way I've always been.
I'm the same,
right,
you know.
Right.
I mean, the only change happened at 30 when I shaved my head, but nothing else.
It's a good look, by the way. I got to get to that soon, man. I'm tired of this.
Yes, it's easier.
That's got to be easier. That's the only thing I wouldn't want to slip up there.
Yeah, you know, it happens every once in a while.
I'll let you know when I get to it. Actually, you'll see me when I get to it.
Keep having kids to see what happens. and then get a dog.
But for now, I'm keeping it.
So what's going on now? Like, where's the Marcus Reed Band at? What are you guys, like, what's on the horizon next year, year after? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, it's just the workload. I mean, we have a ton next year, which I love that.
Well,
every year.
Next year's fucking crazy.
It's crazy. Crazy. Well, next, we were talking about that. It's that
next
big 2-0, right?
2-0.
Everybody wants to get married in 2-0. So if you haven't yet.
I want to clone myself on some of those days because we're getting so many phone calls for them.
Well, if you're thinking about 20, you might be too late. So,
yeah.
You know, I think, well, the one of the best parts about you know, what we do too are our teams as well. And I have a great team with me, my band, and I call it my team because it's a band, but really it's all of us together.
Yep.
And they're so excited, and they're always asking me, you know, what can we do next year that we haven't even done yet? You know, so I talk it, actually, we're going to talk about it at the end of the year. We always do, and get into, we have fun, we go out for dinner, like the whole thing. But I mean, for, in terms of, it's really just to keep the highest level that we can be. And I think really at that point, there's no, there'll never be any boundaries to pinpoint exactly what it's going to be. It's not an exact, it'll never be. You're a performer. You don't never want to be exact because you always want some type of element of, you know, a mystique, a wonder, a surprise to what you're going to do to yourself, for yourself. That's just how it's, just, that's, I think that's how a true artist really is. Like Lady Gaga might be doing something this year, next year, wow, she came out acting. What is she going to do the year after? It's like, she may not even know yet what it's going to be.
And I think Madonna really perfected that too. You know,
Madonna,
she was the queen of reinvention.
I mean, so many artists today.
She's been so many different people, I feel like, in her lifetime, and genres of music and styles she's crossed over.
Think about all the artists today that have learned from that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, for the Marcus Reed band, I would say, you know, it's just, it's playing, it's getting out there, it's constantly connecting to every single person out there. It's constantly having brides and grooms feel like they were taken on a journey that they will never forget, and nobody else will ever forget either on their date. I think that's just, that's always number one.
Yeah, I mean, you just brought up something too, I think that's really important, is I want to like stay on for a second, which was, you talked about your team, you know, and it's you know, and I feel all too often, you, me, we get all the credit when the credit really is. You know, I show up, I shoot the wedding, but there's six people the other day of the wedding that my team, without my team, literally, if they didn't show up that day, I'm just me. And I'm not, because I am my team and my team is me and we're together. And I almost feel weird taking credit sometimes. And I'm always like, you know, you really thank the team. I always say thank the team, you know, because if it wasn't for them. Or, you know, when somebody gives us a compliment about dealing with my studio, thank Sylvia.
Right.
Because she's the backbone here. And without her, it wouldn't allow me to do what I do, because she wouldn't be here running, whether it's producing my show that we do. I just show up and talk shit with you for an hour. I don't know, even know how
I love talking shit.
I don't even know how to turn the microphones on. No exaggeration. I don't even know if they are powered, to be honest with you. But I mean,
like, just one, two,
they're on. But without that, it's, without the team, none of this is possible. Literally none of it's possible.
Well, I think... You know what it is? I think what we can take credit for is actually choosing the right people, right? That's huge.
That's
to really and to really be up on them and with them, right? So a couple of things, you know, getting with a team would be the fact of what you were saying. So for instance, if somebody comes up to me at the end of the night, you know, and I know that, you know, my singers just slayed the last song, right? I'll tell them, go over to them, just like you do. I'm like, I mean, aren't they amazing, right? Or I even, what I like to do a lot of times too is like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the band, right? Because I think a lot of people don't do that. And I feel like it's also exciting too. You know, it's another element of your performance.
Correct.
Meaning the team's performance for the audience to take in and feel connected to. That connection is huge. So it is important, I think.
It also makes them feel good.
Yeah,
because it makes them feel good. More bought into the system and the culture of the company or your band, or
You know, and how good do you feel? Knowing that, you know, their careers, you know, are also they're also depending on the person next to them, right? So everybody should really feel good. I just think that you're right. I'm glad you pointed that back out, and that's why I get back to that word. Team. I mean, we do a lot of the behind the scenes stuff.
And I like the word team, because people used to say, you know, when I started and I was younger, we used to say we were a family. And then I went to go see Tony Robbins, and he used to run his company like a family too, except you can't fire your mom.
Now,
I have my mom working here and I can't fire her. So that is true. But he said, when you run your company like a family, it's really hard to fire people or really hard to reprimand people, because we'd be brothers. That's dad. It doesn't work. Whereas teams, very delineated roles. So you have a president, vice president, head coach, right? So here I'm the president of the company, but Sylvia's my head coach, you know, and at the end of the day, she answered me, but I give her autonomy to run this team.
Right.
And within that, we've created a culture where, you know, someone asked me the other day, can I have a day off? I'm like, did Sylvia approve it?
Right.
And they looked at me and were like, I'm like, that's her call, not mine. And the answer was no. And then they came back and asked me, I'm like, what did Sylvia say? And that's the other thing that I think a lot of bosses need to really, if you're going to give
trust.
Somebody that, if you're going to give somebody that power and that authority within your organization, you then have to have their back. You can't, because then if I would have said yes to that person, well, I've just undermined Sylvia's authority to run my business. Right.
So that's a downward spiral, by the way.
And that's a downward spiral. Yeah. And the same thing goes for you. You know, if you're going to give somebody authority to take, you know, a cue from somebody else, you have to have their back on that.
Right.
Sink or swim.
You do.
And sometimes people make mistakes.
Yeah, they do. That's you're human. You make mistakes. Sure.
Not me.
Just don't show them.
Not me. Never.
Nobody's going to know.
Nobody's going to know.
Wait, let me say that in the camera. I never make mistakes. Come on.
So, you know, you've been so gracious to join us, and I know you are a busy man with what you got going on. You got you have a baby on the way.
So happy about that, by the way.
Baby at home. You don't have a dog yet, but I guarantee you in the next 2 years you will have one of those.
I like dogs.
but the question I ask every one of my guests, if there is one piece of advice you would be able to give yourself from 10 years ago to today, that would be life altering.
I'm going
to
put the thinking hand up over the face for a second.
What would that
10
be?
Years from now?
No, 10 years ago. So you're asking yourself 10 years ago.
What advice would I keep doing?
One life altering, life changing concept, piece of advice, lesson you learned in life. What would it be?
Oh man. But if I gave myself, it's just probably not the answer nobody and anyone would want to hear, but if I gave myself that advice, I wouldn't be where I am now.
Mm.
Because it would change my past.
Mm.
So
one lesson you learned.
Keep going.
Mm. You know, it's true, because I think to echo what you're saying, there's moments where you want to quit. There's moments where you want to stop. There's moments where adversity comes. And the adversity to me is the way, because, and it's a great book, by the way, if anyone hasn't read it, Ryan Holiday, amazing author, talks about this at length. The obstacle is the way, and without adversity, without
100%. Oh my goodness.
It is. And like, you know, if you're born into a billionaire family, you have like a 400% higher likelihood of becoming addicted to drugs, because your life becomes unfulfilled because things have been so easy for you.
What are you going to search for?
What are you searching for in life? And
yeah,
you know, I think of all the adversity I faced, you know, this year, last year, the past 20 years of my life, and the obstacles I've had, whether it's wrong team members, all those things, but that led me to where I am today. That gave me the gift of the ability to now see those adversities as gifts, number one. But number two, that's my litmus test now, right? So I've been through that. So I know when I look into somebody's eyes when I'm about to hire them, what is their purpose here? What is their soul? What are their intentions? And I've looked at those now as those have been the greatest gifts, because the fabric of who I am is the accumulation of all the fuck ups and mistakes I've gone through, plus all the adversity I've overcome.
You know what? You can't be afraid to walk straight through. There are no walls.
Yep.
You have to do it. You have to figure it out, because that is exactly how you get to the level.
Mm.
There's a big difference between somebody that hasn't done it and somebody that's done it.
Yep.
And that person might succeed a little bit, but they're never going to do, or they're never going to be, in my opinion, I haven't seen it yet, they're not going to get to that level.
For sure.
That you know you can get to, that I know I can get to. It's huge. Yeah. Huge. It's the journey, man. I know it's cliche, but it's the journey.
Well, I want to say, like, I think your journey is still beginning, bro. Because, you know, only 6 years in, I've been doing this for 23 years. You know, there's the ceiling's not there yet for you, bro. I mean that wholeheartedly. I think with 6 years in, with what you've accomplished, there's a lot more to go. And and with that being said, I want to be respectful of your time. I want to be respectful of the fact that you have a pregnant wife at home and a child to take care of. But you're a beautiful human, bro. You're an amazing performer.
I'm blushing.
And I have true respect for the amount of energy you put in and the amount of dedication and commitment you bring to servicing your clients, to servicing your band, and to staying authentic to who you are. You have as much energy off stage as you do on stage. It is not an act, folks. So
let's go. Let's go.
So if you need a band, you want to have your mind blown for 4 hours, hire Marcus Reed. I know they can find you at Hang Lane, but if you could just give them the, like, best way to contact Hank Lane to hire you would be?
Sure. Best way, 212-767-0500. Pretty sure that's the number.
Or just call Hank Lane.
Or just do a search. Yeah, cool. Do a search. I mean, you could search Marcus Reed Band. I'm sure stuff will pop up. Social media.
Cool. We'll include links to Hank Lane Company, .com and all that stuff. So if people want to know where to find you, they will be able to do that.
Absolutely.
And, dude, you're a beautiful human, man. Thank you for giving me.
Oh, Anthony.
You're sharing your gift.
Feelings,
your times.
Feelings mutual, man.
Love you, brother.
So happy that back in the day we met, man.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Seriously.
Too,
very, very cool.
Cool. Thank you for your time, brother. We'll do this again. Hey, everybody. Doing this has been an absolute journey and an amazing time. I have learned so much, and I want to thank you all for listening in. If you kindly would, we would just ask you for your support. If you've liked the show, if you've gained anything from it, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or any of the other platforms where you are viewing this. We would greatly appreciate it, and it means the world.